Good morning. How are you this morning? It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here. Glad to have those of you who are joining us via Facebook this morning. And we ask, if you will, please, to comment. Let us know that you're with us on Facebook. We do appreciate that. But we're glad that all of you are here. And we've come believing that God's going to do something good for us this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me remind you of just a few announcements. Be sure and remember choir practice tonight at 5 o'clock. And they are, if you can believe this, going to begin to work on Easter. But be sure and remember that. And it's hard to believe that it's Easter's just right around the corner. So be sure and remember that. Small groups tonight, various places. So be sure and remember those. And the young adult group is not meeting. Is that correct? They are not meeting tonight. So those in the young adult group, be sure and remember that. Wednesday night, regular services at 6. Children, youth, and adults. This coming Friday at 10 o'clock, Grief Share begins for 13 weeks. And if you have questions about that, be sure and see Jane Montgomery. Next Saturday morning is men's breakfast at 9 o'clock. And men, if you're planning to come to be a part of the men's breakfast, be sure and let Wayne know so that they will know how many to prepare for. Last time he had 6 people tell him that they were going to be here and we had 12 show up. He had just enough. And Wayne nor I have had much success at multiplying the loaves and the fishes. So, I don't know about what that tells you about us, but anyway, be sure and let Wayne know if you're planning to be here. Next Sunday morning is 5th Sunday breakfast for the entire church, and that'll be at 8:30, and Ladies Ministries is in charge of that, and there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. The next Bread of Life meeting will be February the 4th. The menu and the sign-up sheets are out in the foyer. There's also a Bread of Life wish list that is out there. And what this wish list is for, they have reduced what they're doing to basically to 4 meals once a quarter. They're doing a particular meal. And this wish list will allow you that if you find something on sale that's on that list, you can go ahead and buy it, non-perishable stuff, bring it to the church. We've got a place that we can store it. And that way they'll have an ongoing supply of the things that they need for Bread of Life meals, so be sure and remember that. Remember the Dipes and Wipes shower. This is the next Sunday's the last Sunday. Next Sunday's the last Sunday for the Dipes and Wipes shower for Keelan, so be sure and remember that. The box is in the foyer. There's a lot of other items there in the newsletter, and we want you to look at those items. And we do appreciate your giving, your faithfulness in giving to the church. My, what a blessing. As you may or may not know, today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and on this special day we celebrate life and we recognize the Creator who alone gives life. We're very thankful for the recent Supreme Court decision, and we certainly have reason to be thankful, but with that in mind, we've got to continue to do our part as a local congregation to support those who are on the front lines of these efforts and to help those who are going through crisis pregnancies. One center is here in Crossville, and if you came in and you saw baby bottles by the offering boxes and you were wondering what those were for, those are going to be out the next 2 weeks, and we want to encourage you to put an offering in that box for Plateau Pregnancy Services, and encourage you to give what the Lord lays on your heart. And if you want to make the check out to Plateau Pregnancy Services, that'll be fine. If you want to make it out to the church, that'll be fine. But that's what those baby bottles are back there. But we want to continue to pray for those in leadership in our country, that the hearts and minds of our nation would be turned to protecting and saving lives. And so today we celebrate life. We celebrate the Creator of life. And we celebrate the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in our community through Plateau Pregnancy Services. So may God bless you today as you think about this. Any other announcements? Pastor Tyler, come.
Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, we come to you thankful this morning that we can know that the God that we served knit us together in our mother's womb. And before we were ever even thought of, you knew us. You knew exactly who we would be and all those things. And God, we thank you for that. God, we are reminded of the fact that you have a plan for each and every one of our lives. And God, today, that plan brought us here. And so as we're here this morning together, I pray that we would put aside the things that may be troubling us, the things that may be weighing us down, and that we would focus on a God who knows us, who sees us, who knows each and every single one of us by name. God, this morning we love you, we praise you, we thank you so much in advance for everything that you have done and everything you're going to do. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. As a feeling of expectation or looking forward to something that's going to happen. And I am thankful that the world that we live in, the God that we serve, is a God who is a God of hope. I'm thankful that we don't have to put our hope in the things of this world, and that we can put our hope in things above. And it's not just a God who's deep and or absent and impersonal, but a God who loves us right where we are. cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing. Through the darkness, your loving kindness.
Thank you, Lord, that you are our living hope. We are not people of a hopeless end, but we are people of an endless hope. And we rejoice and we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory this morning for who you are and for what you've done in our lives. Oh, God, you have blessed us in so many ways. You have done more for us than we can even begin to think about. We are blessed people, and we're so thankful that we can come together this morning to worship you, to praise you, to lift you up, to magnify your name. Your word tells us that if you are lifted up, that you'll draw all men to you. And so, Lord, this morning we are believing that as we enter this time of looking into your word, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you're going to speak to us, you're going to help us, you're going to encourage us. Lord, if we need to be convicted, you're going to convict us, and you're going to help us to see, Lord, what we need to be doing in your kingdom. And so we rejoice in that this morning. We're grateful, Lord, that we can bring to you our needs and our burdens. We know, Lord, that in this congregation, there are those that need your special healing touch even now. And so, Lord, we're believing that you're going to touch, that you're going to help, you're going to heal. Even today, Lord, we've heard good things that you have done, but Lord, we need you to touch and you to move and you to do miraculous things in people's lives. And so we're asking you and believing you for that this morning. Thank you that you are the great physician, that you touch and heal lives. And this morning, Father, we pray that as we give and as we give to your kingdom, that you would bless these people today as they do that. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, may your Holy Spirit, who inspired these words, come and illuminate them to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives, to our church today. And for the things that you're going to do for us, we praise you and give you honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. But then you also need to go to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 10, and then we're going to look at Matthew 28. Don't you like how I'm giving you all these things? That's what God gave us fingers for, so we can stick them in our Bible so we'll know where we're going to. Past few weeks, we've been talking about core values. And you might have asked yourself as we've been going through all of this, well, what does he mean, core values? Well, I'll be honest with you, when I started thinking about what core values are, it became just a little overwhelming to me. What happens when you try to reduce the why? Now, that's what you've got to think about in relation to this. What happens when you reduce the why we do church into just a few short words? I told you, and I've told you this, I think, every week, the core values of the Church of the Nazarene are the fact that we are Christian, we are holiness, and we are missional. We're part of that denomination. So you should know that we as a local church are also Christian, holiness, and missional. But when you begin to reduce it down even more for us as a local church, and what I'm about to say, you may not like, but I really want you to think it through with me, okay? But when you reduce it down even more locally, you then have to begin to look at everything that we do as a congregation. And there comes a point in time where you have to begin to call some frivolous things that maybe have crept into our 21st century church, the way that we do church. And when you begin to reduce what the church is, you begin to look at those basic things to which we as Christians have been called. As I said earlier, we've looked at those some core values for our church. We've talked about service. We've talked about the fact that we are called to serve the Lord. We're called to serve our church. We're called to serve our community. We've talked about sacrifice, how that when we sacrifice our person, we sacrifice our praise, and we sacrifice our possessions. Last week we talked about sharing, and we share by being a part of people's lives, by meeting the needs that are in other people's lives, and by giving the gospel, to change people's lives. Well, this morning we're going to look at another one of what I believe are our core values. And I want to just go ahead and tell you that the message this morning has two points. I know I was taught you're supposed to have three. This morning we have two. So don't call my homiletics professor and tell him. How about that? I want us to look this morning at these three passages of Scripture. And then we're going to get started really into the message. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13, 14. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And then you go to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And there you find Jesus saying, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You move on over to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and Jesus is speaking there, and he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All of these are the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever really noticed that that we as humans are people who are always seeking something? We're always seeking something. And I'm not just talking about us old folks who go somewhere and lay something down and forget where we put it. I told somebody the other day that I'm coming more and more to believe in the hereafter because I go places and wonder, what am I here after? You know. But we as human beings, I mean, we are always seeking something. Pastor Tyler from time to time will say, well, Columbus took a chance and look what it brought him. I mean, that's how so much of what we have and so much of what we do, we as a human race are always seeking something. And I looked up that word seek because I really didn't want to stand here and try to preach about it and you really not know what it is. And most of all, I wanted to know what it said, okay? I looked up that word seek, and the word seek says this: to go in search of, to look for, to try to discover, to ask for, to seek advice from, to try to acquire or gain. I like all of those because I really think it describes what I'm trying to tell you this morning, what I want to talk to you about. This core value of seeking in many ways involves all of those things in that definition. And this core value, at least for me, is basically made up of two things. Basically made up of two things. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is this core value involves seeking God. It involves seeking God. Jeremiah 29 verses 13 through 14. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then God says, I will be found by you. I will be found by you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever boiled the purpose of your life down into just a very small word or detail? Have you ever thought about what makes you excited? And have you ever thought about what really enthuses you? Is it possible that from time to time we get so excited about so many things that we lose out on what God really wants for us in our lives? The past few Wednesday nights and then last Sunday morning, I talked to you a little bit about this relationship that we're supposed to have with God. And I realize that I'm talking to people who came today to church, okay? But can I tell you that across the years, and now it's been over 40 years, across the years, I've met people who attended church on a regular basis that really didn't have a relationship with God. They were just coming to church because that's what they had been taught to do. This verse, Jeremiah 29, verses 13, 14, these verses are found right in the middle of a letter. If you go back and read this whole chapter, you'll find this out. They're right here in the middle of a letter that Jeremiah is sending to the people who are in exile in Babylon. A whole lot of the time we look at verse 11 and we get real excited about verse 11 because verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." I mean, we like that. We like the fact that God has a plan for us. But when you look at the context of all of this, you're going to realize that verse 11 is basically God telling them, you're in exile, and that's where you're going to stay. Puts a whole new light on it, doesn't it? I mean, you go back to verse 5 of Jeremiah 29. There he tells them, you're going to be there here for the long haul because he tells them, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your son and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I mean, God is saying to this group of people, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to hurt you. Plans to give you a future and a hope, but right now, you're there. Puts a whole new light on it, doesn't it? You know, I mean, he tells them all of this. But he also, in the verses that I just read to you, begins to tell them something that I think it is of great importance to us. Because he tells them, if you begin to seek me, if you begin to earnestly desire to have a relationship with me, then you're going to find me because I will be found by you right where you are. Right where you are. I mean, the wonderful thing about all of this is that God says, I'm going to be with you there. And if you really begin to look for me, you're going to find me. This is basically a repetition of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. And even there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, Moses is speaking. He's giving the people of Israel what God has said. But he's telling them that if you go away from me, I'm going to send you into exile. But then he says there in Deuteronomy 4, 29, if you seek me, you'll find me. That's a wonderful thing for us to realize. Even though he tells them these things are going to happen and they're not going to be great, if you begin to seek me, you're going to find me. I love these passages. I mean, they give us the fact that irregardless of who we are, where we are, if we really begin to have a desire for a relationship with God, we are not going to be disappointed. Let me tell you something this morning, folks. God doesn't play hide and go seek. We were playing hide and go seek one time in a church that I pastored. Now, let me tell you something about a pastor. A pastor basically knows every nook and cranny in that place. And so the teens, they decided, Pastor, why don't you go hide? Oh, boy, I'll do that. They looked for an hour to find me. You know where I was? I had gone up in that choir loft. We had pews, and I had gone up and crawled under one of the pews in the choir loft. It was not a comfortable position to be in, but I was there, and they never found me. Folks, God does not do us that way. They walked all over me that night. I mean, they walked all over that choir loft and never found me. I could have reached out and grabbed any of them if I'd wanted to. God does not do us that way. If we seek Him, we're going to find Him. He will be found by us. Well, how are we supposed to seek Him? The first thing, that way that I think that we're supposed to seek Him, we're supposed to seek Him through His Word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 9 through 6, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to Your Word. I seek You with all my heart. Do not let me stray from Your commands. I have hidden Your Word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Praise be to You, Lord. Teach me Your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that came from Your mouth. I rejoice in following Your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on Your precepts and consider Your ways. I delight in Your decrees. I will not neglect Your Word. The only way you're really going to come to have a relationship with God is through the Word of God. And if we want to live a life that is pleasing to God, if we're going to seek Him as we should, if we want our children and our teens to live lives of purity, then we're going to have to be people that seek God through His Word. One of the reasons that we, like so many other places, we continue with Sunday school and we continue with small groups and we continue with Wednesday nights is so that we can be people of the Word. I need those Bible training times in which we look, in which we read, in which we break apart the Word of God, and we realize that this is what God wants for us. We can seek Him. And please, I'm going to say this, and I say it without any hesitation. If you're not in Sunday school, if you're not in small groups, if you're not in Wednesday nights, please understand, you are malnourished as a Christian. I'm glad I just don't eat on Sundays. It might be better for me if I did. We need those times in which we're seeking God in His Word. But more than just that, you need to be seeking God in your personal times when you are away from church. Don't neglect the reading of the Word of God. Do you know the reason that we are so afraid to meet those people who come knocking at our doors? Because we're afraid they know more about the Word of God than we do, and we don't want to get in that fight. Well, I got one amen out of that. We seek Him through the Word. We seek Him through worship. David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 tells his worship leader to give praise to God through worship. And in verses 8 through 11, he says this: give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all of His wonderful acts. Glory in His name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Oh my goodness. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. But I want you to understand something. If you come to church expecting God to do something for you, I promise you, you will not go away disappointed. If you come to church saying, well, I don't like this or I don't like that, please understand, you're probably not going to get a whole lot out of it. We come to church so that we can worship God in the beauty of holiness. Our worship brings us into His presence. And we come to this place in order that we might seek Him in worship. But let me add something to that. There ought to be some times when you are alone or when you're with your family or with somebody and you're maybe going down the road with the radio on and some gospel music playing. I'm telling you, rejoice. Just keep your hands on the steering wheel. We seek Him through the Word. We seek Him through worship. We seek Him through prayer. The only way to ultimately find God is through prayer, through those conversations with Him. Folks, you don't have to use flowery words. There doesn't have to be any pretense, because God knows who you are and all about you anyway. You know? It's just open, honest conversation with the One who understands you better than anybody else on the face of the earth. And please understand something, folks. If Jesus, God in the flesh, spent time seeking the Father and seeking the Father's will, how much more do you and I need to be people of prayer who spend time seeking God, seeking Him, talking to Him, listening to Him through His Word, worshiping Him in those times. So you see, this core value has to do with seeking God. But I want you to look at this second point, because this second point is just as important. And I'm going to pull both of these together at the end of the message, maybe in a way that you won't like. Not only are we seeking God, but we are seeking the lost. You say, Pastor, you mention this all the time. Yes, and there's a reason that we mention it all the time. The reason that we mention it all the time is because Jesus, in describing His mission statement for life, said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Amen. You see, that's His mission statement. That's His core value. I mean, you find that passage of Scripture at the end of His meeting with Zacchaeus. I mean, and that mission statement that Jesus gives them comes about because of the criticism that they were giving Him, because they said He's going to the house of a sinner to eat. And Jesus said, that's where I'm supposed to be, because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. They said He's going to be the guest of a sinner. That's actually what it says in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 7, book of Luke. The very core of Jesus' mission was to seek people. Now, they might have been on a boat in the Sea of Galilee as they've coming in. They're trying to mend their nets. And Jesus walks up to them and says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It might have been at a well talking to a woman who came at midday instead of early morning because her life was a wreck. It might have been somebody up a tree like Zacchaeus who had stole from everybody and everybody and their brother hated him. It might have been in a funeral procession where Jesus walks up to that stretcher as they're carrying that young man. And that mom is heartbroken. But Jesus seeks and speaks. And that young man goes home alive. You see, you're going to find if you read the Word of God and you read it with some intensity, you're going to find that Jesus went a lot of places that most of the religious people didn't think he should have gone. You find Jesus doing things that most people would not have done, but you always find him seeking and reaching people. This whole thing challenged my thinking this week. Please look through your Bible, maybe this week, and really look. We are basically only given a few specific commands by Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Some Bible scholars say that we were given two specific commands by Jesus. Some Bible scholars say that we were given four specific commands by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, you find Jesus basically repeating the Shema when the young man comes and says, they question him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Some people say there are two commands in that. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. You go over to John chapter 13. And there in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And then his last command, we call it a commission, but his last command is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Four. There may be one more. We're going to talk about it next week. Just thought I'd throw that in, you know, just dangling the bait out there for you. But it's this last one. It's this last one that I think is so vital for us. I mean, if Jesus only made four, five, six specific commands, then we better pay attention to those, shouldn't we? No, you missed that. So do it again. If Jesus only gave us a few commands, then we should pay attention to them, shouldn't we? That was still a little weak. I mean, every week as we've been going through our core values, something has been mentioned basically about this commission. That ought to tell you how important this is. Folks, Jesus did not call us to build church buildings. He didn't call us to build schools. He didn't call us to build hospitals. He didn't call us to build colleges. He didn't call us to build monuments to Him. He did call us to love God, to love our neighbor, to love one another, and to go and make disciples. I've just read you all of those verses. And if we consider, now hold on, it's about to get heavy, okay, so I'm telling you in advance. If we consider these four commands of Jesus, and we say they are His commands, But then we read what James said in James chapter 4, verse 17, that if anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do them, it is what? Yeah, that puts a whole new frame of reference on it, doesn't it? Because we know the commands. We know what we ought to be doing. And James says if we're not doing it, then we are sinning. I really didn't figure I'd get a lot of amens right here. Most of the time, I said this a couple of Sundays ago. Most of the time when you start talking about the word evangelism or you're talking about seeking the lost, I'm telling you, people immediately shut down because they have this idea of what evangelism is all about. They have this idea of what seeking the lost is all about. They believe God's going to call them to a deep, dark continent somewhere, and that's where they're going to be the rest of their lives. Or he's going to call them to go down to the worst house on the worst street in the town and be there. Matthew 28, verse 19 is as simple as falling off a log. Jesus says this as though he understands that this is just something that we are going to do. Okay? Some Bible scholars say that a more accurate rendition of this, of go and make disciples of all nations, that they say that a more accurate rendering of this is, as you go, make disciples. In other words, it's as we go out from this place and we go about our daily lives, it just should be a natural part of what we're doing that we are talking to people and we're telling people the good news that Jesus will save them. D. Michael Henderson, you can buy this book from the Foundry, okay? Nazarene Publishing, what used to be called Nazarene Publishing House. In his book, Making Disciples, One Conversation at a Time, this is what he said. He said, Jesus trained a handful of ordinary people to follow him as he established God's kingdom on earth. His primary training method was intimate personal conversations on a friend-to-friend basis. As they walked along in their daily routines of life, he taught them the practical principles of the kingdom. He then commissioned them to go and make disciples of all nations by teaching others what they had learned. He still calls believers today to accept this great commission. How are we supposed to do this, William? I'm glad y'all ask the best questions. I'm telling you. We're to do this in our everyday lives. At Walmart, at Lowe's, at the restaurants where we go, when we're standing outside talking to our neighbor. Folks, we're not taking the Bible with us in there, you know, a Bible big enough to scare somebody. What are we taking? We're taking ourselves. We're taking ourselves. We're simply being followers of Jesus who are different from the rest of the world that is around us. We're having conversation. We're having interactions with them so that the Holy Spirit can begin to move on their hearts. We're just doing what should come naturally to us as Christians. Talk about the one who we love more than anything else in this world. Isn't that right? I mean, I said it last week and some of you just kind of stared at me, but I'm going to say it again. Very few of us have non-Christian friends. God help us. How are we going to win them if we're not friends with them? Make friends with somebody that you know doesn't know Christ. You say, well, William, isn't that judging? Well, by their fruit you'll know them. You know, make friends, gain their trust. And now listen to this statement. And as God opens the door, tell them your story. Now, the story about Christ in your life and how he changed you. And folks, let me tell you, many times that will become the channel by which the Holy Spirit will open up a whole new avenue for you to begin to talk to them about what Christ can do in their lives. We ought not be ashamed of Jesus. We ought to follow his example to seek and to save those who are lost. So in our going to Walmart, in our going to Lowe's, in our going to the restaurant, in our going to school, in our going to our job, in our going to the retirement center, in our going wherever we may be going, we need to be seeking the lost. Conclusion. You see, one of our core values is seeking. It's seeking God. It's seeking the lost. And one more time, like those core values that I talked about last week that were action statements, you know, seeking God, seeking the lost, their action statement. And please understand something, folks. These two are intertwined. You say, William, what do you mean by their intertwined? I mean they can't be separated. I was talking to a friend about my message this morning. And as we were talking about it, he made a statement that kind of hit me hard. He said, if we don't love and seek people, we really can't say that we love God. Oh my. But suddenly the truth of that began to come about in my mind. And if we believe John 3:16 and believe that God does love the world, and if we believe 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 where Jesus said that he's patient, not willing that any should perish, then we're going to have to love our neighbor. We're going to have to love those who are lost, and we're going to have to seek them and try to bring them to Jesus. Don't make this something hard. Don't make it something that is frightening. Just be Jesus to them. When you go to the restaurant today, be Jesus to that person who's going to serve you. And if they mess up, smile and graciously say, it's okay. And the reason I say that is because you mess up all the time. That wasn't in the notes. I've just always wanted to say it, you know. Just go out and seek the people that Jesus loves. Did you get that? Just go out and seek the people that Jesus loves. You see, our core values are service and sacrifice and sharing and seeking. And we've got one more. And I know what you're thinking. Next Sunday is going to be the Sunday that he preaches about stewardship. You are wrong. Amen. We're not even going to hit it this year. You have to come and find out what next Sunday is. Because it's so important for us to realize that we are about service. We're about sacrifice. We're about sharing. We're about seeking. And there's one more. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to seek and save us. We weren't bad, but we sure weren't good. And yet you knew that if we died as we were, that we would perish. And so you came to seek and to save that which was lost. I pray, Father, that you would help us, that we might seek you. For Lord, we really can't seek you without seeking our neighbor. We really can't love you without loving them. We can't really love you without loving people in the church. We really can't love you without doing what you've called us to do. So, oh God, I ask you that you would help us to see people, to see this world as you see them. Help us as we seek you to begin to see our world in a different way maybe than we've ever seen it before. And as we seek you, then you will begin to work through us and give us opportunities to be the channel through which you flow to other people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make friends with people who don't know you. Not just to bring them to Crossville First Church of the Nazarene, but to bring them to you. And if they choose to come here, we give you praise. But if they don't, we give you praise that they found you. Lord, we believe you want to do great and mighty things through these people who are sitting before you this morning. You have not placed Crossville First Church of the Nazarene here just to sit across from Walmart. You have placed us here so that people who are hurting, people who are wondering why in the world they're in the shape they're in, people who may be very, very good people but are still very, very lost, you've called us to seek them. So, Lord, help us. May we not be able, Lord, to get away from this. The rest of our lives, may we not ever be able to get away from this when we're in a place shopping or when we're in a place eating or when we're at our work or at our school or wherever we may be. May we never be able to get away from the fact that you have called us. You have commissioned us. You have commanded us to seek the lost. So go with us, Lord, as we enter the mission field. The mission field's not just in Africa. It's not just in South America. It's not just in Mexico or some other place. The mission field is directly across the street from us, or directly next door to us, or wherever we may be. It may be a station at our job. It may be a desk at our school. That is the mission field. So help us, Lord, as we leave this place this morning to enter the mission field, that we would do it with the eyes and with the purpose of Jesus. We love you and we give you praise. For the people who are going to come to know Jesus, not because we were wonderful witnesses, but because we were simply a living Bible that they could read. We give you glory for that, and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. Come next week expecting God to do something good for you. I believe He's going to. God bless you. Remember all the activities this evening. You are dismissed.